time to talk basketball. To do that, we turn to John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. A 7 straight wins, best record in the league. Hey, John, where do I get my tickets for the Duck Boat Parade?
Just plant your chair right in the corner over there at the Government Center and just kind of hang out for about 7 months. You'll be fine.
Perfect. Well, last night it didn't start out like a duck boat celebration kind of game. It looked like for, I don't know, the first 2.5, 3 quarters, like this would be one of those games that the Celtics sort of sleepwalked their way through.
Yeah, it had bad loss kind of written all over it for a long time. It's one of those games where they couldn't hit anything. I think they were, what, 3 of 21? The starters were 3 of 21 through three quarters. They just couldn't hit a shot. And it wasn't that they were not trying, but I just don't think they were giving it 100%. After the game, Joe Mazzulla said they looked tired, and they were playing like that. And OKC came in. They're young. Even on the back-to-back, that was an NBA TV game. That's a national TV game for them, and they had a lot of juice. That Celtics team had no juice for about three quarters. Then Peyton Pritchard and Derek White, with about 2.5 minutes to go, just said, we're not going to let this happen. And they gave the Celtics a boost, and they kind of rode that boost through that fourth quarter and did just enough to win.
Yeah, Pritchard and White, you're absolutely correct. They came in and gave them a start, and then, my goodness, Marcus Smart out of this world in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a game where Marcus, you know, he's been getting 10, 11, 12 assists a game. And, you know, in this one, he still had 8, but he saw opportunities to score. He saw a chance to go out there and get lanes to the hoop and get into the paint. And the most impressive part about what Smart did in that game, 20 points in the second half, but only 1 of 2 from 3. So he didn't just get hot from 3. And I think that's kind of like one of the stories from this season for the Celtics. It's not just that they've gotten hot from 3, last night's game notwithstanding. It's they're doing things to just get themselves good opportunities. Smart saw opportunities in the paint around the rim, and he took them, and he got to the free throw line, and that's what you need to do in a situation where the whole team is cold. You get in close to the rim, you get into the paint, you get easier shots, and then you work inside out, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, they were 5 of 10 in the last 14 minutes of the game.
I thought it was a pretty egregious technical that was called last night on Jason Tatum, and then I saw on your feed earlier this afternoon that today the league has rescinded that.
Already rescinded. That was. I'm surprised the league didn't hop in at halftime and rescind that. That was just a, I don't know if that was a reputation call, if officials are just really watching Jason Tatum closely, but all he did was clap his hands. And you, even if he was upset at the ref, which I don't think he was, you got to give these guys some leeway to have some emotion. That was a very bad technical foul, very quick technical foul. So not shocked at all that they rescinded it.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. John, from your perspective, what's been the key to this 7-game winning streak?
I think one of the things that they've done well here is they've had some patience on offense. They really are working to get good shots. Not only are they getting a bunch of assists, and even in last night's game when they weren't hitting a ton of shots, they still got more than 25 assists. I think a hallmark of this team is being willing to pass the ball and get the next good shot. And it even doesn't matter if the shot clock is winding down. I think their ability to work the ball around, make precise passes, precise decisions, and hey, if there's 5 on the shot clock, don't panic. You still got room to pass it once or twice more. And they've been doing it and getting good looks. And again, last night, some of those shots weren't falling, but they still had good looks. There's a reason why they've got so many assists, and they're at the top of the league when it comes to assists, and at the bottom of the league when it comes to, or I should say, fewest turnovers in the league. There's a reason for all of that. There's a reason why their shots are falling, and they have got the number one offense by a mile in the NBA. It's patience, precision, and trust with one another that you don't see a whole lot of guys going hero ball too much. You know, we've talked about it. That finals loss where we saw almost nothing but hero ball, you don't see as much of that anymore. So that's been good to see.
And is that part of the maturation process for Brown and Tatum?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, Jason Tatum is 24 years old now. Jaylen Brown is 25 or 26. they are in that next stage of their careers where they have learned their lessons of the past. They have grown into not only their bodies, but their roles, and they understand now what it takes. I really think that that loss in the finals resonates with them. They learned some really, really hard lessons about themselves and not just the game. And this year, I think you're really seeing a lot of that applied. You're seeing real maturation from Tatum, real maturation from Brown. They know they don't have to do it all themselves. But here's the thing, Rich. When you give the ball up, you'll get it back. I always say, if everybody makes the right play, the right guys are going to get their stats. And these guys are all making the right plays for the most part this year. And guess who's getting the right stats? Jason Tatum's an MVP candidate. He just moved into the lead as far as odds makers go for MVP. Jaylen Brown is having what could be an all-NBA season. And they don't have to force a thing. That understanding that just make the right play, you'll get it back if it's supposed to come back to you. And very often it does.
Best record in the league is nice, but holding possession of that NBA belt, that's even better.
Yes, that's right. The coveted NBA belt, which, again, fun way to track what's going on in the league. And the Celtics, on a roll, they're the first team to defend it twice. So every other team that's had it has defended it either none, no defense, or once before giving it up. So the Celtics now have defended it twice. And now they got to take it on the road. Atlanta's not going to be easy. Atlanta just beat Milwaukee twice.
Right, yeah. What do you think we'll see when they get together tomorrow night down there?
I mean, I think DeJounte Murray gives Atlanta a little bit of an edge, a little bit more of a defensive presence, and I think they're following that lead. I think the Hawks are not just Trae Young and his band of merry men. I think there's a little bit more cohesion there, and they understand, like, you can take Trae Young out of the game and be okay. And in fact, when he's out of the game, that's when you can shift into real hard-nosed defense. So this is going to be a tough game. I think the Hawks, after last season, where I think the Hawks got fat and happy from their previous playoff run, they came into this season understanding that you got to have the right mental attitude. And I think Murray is a big reason why they understand that. And they see Milwaukee at the top of the league and played them well. They see the Celtics coming in now at the top of the league. I think the Celtics are going to get their best, and they have to be 100% ready for what the Hawks are going to give them, because Trae is explosive on offense. They can score a ton of points, and they're up to the eighth-ranked defense now, and that's not something you usually expect from the Hawks. So that's going to be a real, real tough game. The Hawks have something to prove against these top teams in the East.
Seems to be quite a bit of parity in the league this year. As you look around, is there a team that to you has been the biggest surprise this season?
I mean, obviously you point to Utah as the biggest surprise, but a team like Portland is a big surprise as well. Even OKC. OKC came in last night looking to get to 500, and they almost did it. They are a young, hungry team. And so I think there are a lot of surprises around the league. I've been surprised by Indiana being as close to 500 as they've been. You're right. Parity is definitely part of the NBA. This is what the NBA has been hoping for since the last collective bargaining agreement. They've wanted to make a system where everybody has a chance, and that's what they have. And a lot of these teams that people thought were going to be tanking are surprising right now.
And on the flip side, I'm surprised to see teams like the Sixers and the Raptors struggling to stay over 500.
You know, the Raptors, you know, they were one of those teams where it was just kind of a, I want to see what they got. They have a bunch of rangy, switchy 6'6 to 6'9 guys with long arms, and that can work in some senses, but, you know, it doesn't always lead to success. There are some matchups where that can be problematic, but yeah, I am a little surprised, but I feel like they'll get themselves together. Philly, I'm a little surprised, but more disappointed in Philly, and I think that's Harden and Embiid not really working as hard to get the other guys on the team involved. You make a comparison to Boston, where I just talked about how much they're moving the ball and they trust each other. I don't think that exists in Philadelphia. I think it's still the Harden and Embiid show, and they're going to do what they do, and if it doesn't work, then they'll pass it out to the other guys, but they're not working it out to the other guys to get them involved. those guys are just there to dump off whenever their own offense doesn't work, and that doesn't build any chemistry. So yeah, I thought this would be the year for Philly to kind of get past that, but it's just that's Harden's DNA and that's Embiid's DNA, and if they can't change that, they're going to be disappointing all season long.
John Corrales, Locked On Celtics podcast, Boston Sports Journal. Check out his latest in Boston Sports Journal, because he's the only guy writing about the Celtics that finds a way to work in a Montgomery Burns reference.
That's right. Simpsons references abound in my writing.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. We'll catch you next week.
All right. Thanks. Talk to you then.
John Corrales on Downtown.